The scripture lessons for the first Sunday after the Epiphany begin with Psalm 29. Listen for the strength and the power of this song. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a wild young ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in His temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. The lesson from Isaiah in chapter 42 is also about power and strength. But notice the difference between the psalm and the prophet. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you to righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth. I will tell you of it. The gospel lesson is from Matthew 3. It is the account of Jesus' baptism, or the first Sunday after the Epiphany. It is a confirmation of Jesus' power and strength, and it's confirmed with a voice from heaven. Listen. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How strong is strong enough? Strong enough for what? What kind of strength are we talking about? Strong enough to get those rust stains off the sink in the basement? Strong enough to deal with the Taliban again, with or without committing ground troops and keeping our Air Force people safe. Strong enough to back up our diplomatic efforts with military force in North Korea. Strong enough to take on the hot issues like tax reform and the national debt together. How strong is strong enough? That question came to mind reading those scripture lessons for the first first Sunday after the Epiphany, and finding in them the fact that we all want leadership based on strength. Whether it's advice for taking care of those rust stains or thinking about the future of our country. And that want for strong leadership begins very early. It begins in childhood. As children, we want the security of knowing all about life, and so we're curious, inquisitive, and wondering little creatures. That's why little babies seem to want to taste everything they can get their hands on to find out about it. And as children, if we can't know, or if we're not ready to know, well then, my dad knows about that, or my mom will take care of it. Part of our security is founded on that. And so when a parent dies, no matter what age, we feel lonely, and we're a bit of loose ends. Remember the day when your mother or your father was wrong about something? I don't mean a disagreement. I mean a mistake. It's a shock for children. They expect parents to know. And when they don't, children will deny or they will cover the mistake. After all, the issue is security, and we don't fool around with that easily. That's the reason victims of child abuse will often deny or pretend it never, ever happened. But sooner or later, we find out that our parents can be wrong, and we begin to wonder if they're strong enough to be the basis of our trust and our confidence and our security. That's part of growing up. But as adults, we still want to believe in our leadership. In church with our elders and deacons, in our community leaders, nationally with Congress and the President, and even leaders at the UN now that it's playing a bigger and bigger role every year. We like to say, well, they do know what they're doing. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in positions of leadership. There's some security in that, and we all want security. And we seek it. Even if it means overlooking mistakes and failures. Sometimes we call it loyalty. Sometimes we hedge our questions and our doubts with, well, now's not the time to question, now's the time to be obedient. Sometimes we deny that questions need to or should even be asked. All in the name of security based on believing that might, being strong enough, makes right. Or at least secure. And all of that happens because we need to know where our security is, even if it's wrong. Linus, the penis character, had his bling. Dirty Harry had his .44 Magnum pistol. And we all have covers and we all have clubs of various sizes, which we hope are strong enough. As a community, we have SWAT teams. As people, we have bank accounts. We pay attention to the latest styles, or we worry about what the neighbors think, and we make excuses for others in order to keep the status quo, because that's the way it is, and familiar is secure. Even if it isn't right. Now, with those observations on human nature and security and the way it is, I want you to think with me for a few moments about the scripture lessons for this Sunday. In Psalm 29, we find the Lord of the thunderstorm. And here the psalmist is giving a picture of a strong God, so strong as to inspire first awe, and then trust, and then security. It's kind of a blend of terror and respect in this song. Thunderstorms are not all that common in Palestine. They don't have very many of them. And people in that area just just are not used to thunder and lightning. And so Psalm 29 recounts a thunderstorm in a way that you can almost feel it. It's heard over the Mediterranean Sea, and then it comes over the mountains and it descends into the wilderness, and the mighty cedar trees of Lebanon are shattered. See, when lightning hits a tree, it boils the sap and literally explodes it from the inside out. Now imagine seeing that happen and not knowing why or how. The mountains, those stable hills, quake with the sound of thunder immediately after the fury of a lightning flash. People looked at that and they had a choice of dread or glory. Who is this God whose very voice, the psalm says, is thunder, whose presence can shake the very confidence of the bravest of the brave? Whoever he is, he's strong, and we better have him for our God, our security, for anything else is not strong enough. Now, who do we think is strong enough today? Where are we impressed with what it takes to survive or live, really live? This past few weeks, I was in Michigan. Michigan has a terrible problem. Their university football team is losing. That was front page headlines. They just can't have that. So they paid the coach $2.5 million to go away. They just weren't secure with a losing football team. How do we remember statesmen, presidents, and congressmen? Depends on what impresses us in history as strong enough. Well, what kind of power, what kind of strength is it that moves us? It's a vital question, because if nothing impresses or inspires us, if nothing calls us beyond ourselves, then we have no real security to sustain us, to direct us. So Psalm 29 ends, "May the Lord give strength to his people." He's strong enough. Remember the thunderstorm of which he's the king and the ruler? But then notice how God says he's going to provide that security. Once we're impressed with his power and might, he'll do it. And the last verse says, "May the Lord bless his people with peace." Peace, not power. But that word peace in the Old Testament can, usually should be, translated salvation. That's the real security. That's strong enough. Now, where do you sense that today? Is it in the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger? Or the saint, Mother Teresa? Who's stronger? Who's more secure? In other words, God says, "Don't be afraid. I'm your peace. I'm your salvation. And that's your strength." That's our peace. That's our salvation. So what does that look like? Well, look at Isaiah's lesson. The first four verses, we read about a suffering servant who's strong enough to sit down beside the brokenhearted in the mire of life, and by his very presence become the strength and the hope which can be transferred to other people. And when New Testament Christians read that Old Testament passage, we catch a picture of the Messiah, who we confess is the Christ, and we believe he's strong enough, as the Bible says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit." While God could, he does not choose to rule by force or might, but by righteousness and truth and peace, all of which is stronger than strong enough. And how's that work? Look at the New Testament lesson. Baptism of Jesus. Even John the Baptizer was taken aback when Jesus asked to be baptized by him. John said, wait a minute. You?
mixed up. I think you got that turned around. I should be baptized by you. Even John, so close to Jesus, his cousin, so in tune with the very will of God, had to deal with the strong enough issue. John knew the problem of sin. He preached God's displeasure. Even Jesus was impressed with John and called him the greatest of the prophets, greater than Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Micah and all the rest. And as a prophet, John knew what his message was, but he was stunned when Jesus, the Messiah, foretold how God would work. And he asked to be baptized with those who were repenting of sin. And with that act, the very Savior of mankind, the suffering servant of Isaiah 42, took the sin of the world upon himself to share in the shame and pain. It was not with power, as the world thinks of power, that he was going to work his salvation in the very peace of God. It was with gentleness and meekness, symbolized by a spirit descending as a dove, not with the power and glory of the thunderstorm. It was that way Jesus began his public ministry, began to show God to the world. And that's what the word Epiphany means, to show. And then, not before, then, the very voice of God is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." Now that's not a proud father saying that to my boy. It is a confirmation of Jesus' understanding of what the very strength of God is and how it's going to be administered. Pleased here doesn't mean delighted. It means in whom my pleasure rests, on whom my plan of peace or salvation of mankind is centered. Jesus Christ is the answer to the strong enough issue. Now, how holy do we have to be to belong to God? Not the keeping of the laws, perfectly. Who can do that? Who's strong enough to do that? How much blessing do we have to receive before we can be a blessing to somebody else? Quantity is not the issue. So much for us, and then so much for others. It's not now I'm good enough to apply for membership in the kingdom of God. Now I'm strong enough to join the ranks. No. In Christ, we are God's children. An infant have anything to say about baptism? Obviously not. And what a picture of grace that is. Unmerited favor of God. God saying, "I love you," and there isn't anything you can do about it. But there's a lot we can do because of it. Today we're going to ordain and install elders and deacons. None of them asked for the job. We call them as a church to be servants. And so empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in Christ, they are strong enough to answer that call. In Christ, we are strong enough to live the way God wants us to. As children of God, we are His heirs, saved, holy, empowered to do His will. And there's real security. There's the confidence we need to live, to go on living after evil does its worst, to be faithful in the present, even when we can't see the future. Every soul needs security, real security. Every person deals with a strong enough question. God's answer is found in Jesus Christ and the salvation of the peace He brings. About where we need that security. In family, Jesus says, be loving. At work, He says, be honest.
With others, he says, be gracious. And to everybody, he says, forgive
as you have been forgiven.
He says, with God, be open and be filled with a peace, with a salvation that is strong enough, secure, always, even forever.
We have a wonderful picture of that today with communion, the Lord's Supper.
Think for a moment of the security found in having the broken body and shed blood of Jesus there for us. His cross, his resurrection provide a security beyond understanding, but not beyond belief. His cross and resurrection become the center of history and the power to live and die and live again.
Union is no funeral for Jesus. It is a powerful event, an event full of power, strength, security. It is a sacrament to nourish us to life eternal. It is strong enough. And in Jesus Christ, so are we. It is in that spirit that we come today to ordain and install elders and deacons and come to the table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. May God make it so. Let us pray. Almighty God, we see the power of your peace, your salvation, as we worship. As we bless our new elders and deacons, as we hold the communion elements in our hands, may we know that you hold us in yours, safe and secure. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.